add my New Year greetings to you. I trust that this will be a year for all of us where we grow in grace and in knowledge and in love for the Lord Jesus Christ. The first day of 2017, and I wonder what thoughts are buzzing through your mind. I wonder what hopes you have, young people, what hopes you have for this year ahead. I believe that something that we all share is that we know that we are here not to waste our lives, but to make them count for something. Is that possible? Can my little life here amongst the billions of people in this world make a difference? I've not visited the Mojave Desert in California, but I'm told that there is a monument to futility there. Apparently a man, his name was William, they called him Burrow Schmidt. Seems like he had some German ancestry there, Albert. Apparently he dug a tunnel for a period of 40 years through a place called Copper Mountain, which is more than 630 meters long. You can see it today. He didn't use anything modern. They didn't have modern things in those days. He used hand drills, a few explosions. He injured himself. It's speculated that he was making a shortcut to bring gold ore from a mine to a market. But when a new railway was built in 1910 and the tunnel was unnecessary, he was still obsessed. And he went on with the tunnel. He keeps digging for another 28 years until he's through, and then he opens it as a tourist attraction. 40 years to build a useless tunnel through a barren desert mountain. What a waste. Was it a waste? A person may conquer the world like Alexander the Great, only to die in his 30s. So what? Or imagine that in this year, a famous oncologist discovers a cure for cancer. He survives a few more years and then he dies of something else. So what? Raises the question on this day of 2017, how can my life have any purpose and value? I can either be cynical in the world. I can either say, well, let me eat, let me drink, let me be merry, I'm going to die anyway. Or like Moses, the man of God, I can turn to worship and pray. And I'd like you to open your Bibles, Psalm 90, very important psalm. And sometimes we forget that the title is as inspired as the psalm. It's written by Moses. It's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So you'll automatically know where his heart is. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor, one translation says, may the beauty of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I'm so glad this morning, Father, that the gospel not only makes us prepared and ready to die, it makes us ready and prepared to live. And thank you that our lives here do not have to be wasted. Thank you that whilst the years come and go, we may have the assurance that the God of the years is with us and working for us and working for his glory. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Moses knew nothing about Google Earth, but you've been there, and so have I. Once you're in, you see the picture of the whole Earth spinning in space, and it looks as if you're looking down from the space station. And then slowly, as it finds your location, it feels like you are flying down through space to where you actually are. You see the country, the province, the city, then the street. Sometimes, like we did not so long ago, you move to a new location and your computer's still stuck in the old one, so you press the button and it says, find me. It sends you back into the air, shifts you into a new location, zooms you back so that you can see where you are. And today, with the help of Moses, I want to help you press the find me button in your life. I want you to ask yourself, forget about your husband or your wife or your child or your parent, young people. You ask yourself, where am I now? Where am I going to be in this year? What course do I want to chart? And I've given the title, God, You, and 2017, but I could also entitle this, Consider, Reflect, and Act in 2017. So in the psalm, Moses is asking us to consider two truths, very important truths, two of them, and then to take two actions. That's the structure. So as we step into 2017, consider two vital truths. It's pretty amazing, isn't it, how much Moses can pack into 17 verses. And by the way, while this is the only psalm in the Psalter, in the book of Psalms that Moses wrote, you can find two other songs of his in the Old Testament. The one you can find in Exodus 15, it's called the Song of Moses and Miriam, how the people celebrated when God brought them through the Red Sea. Imagine the tsunami caused by the water. Imagine the deaths that Moses saw on that day. It's a song of praise. The other song, which is a kind of contrast, you can find in Deuteronomy 32. Moses is now at the end of his life, and as he's wrestling with a sense of disappointment, because he's not made it into the promised land, he's reminding Israel in the song of their rebellion against God and God's judgments. And it's as if in Psalm 90, it's as if Moses takes all of those strands and he says, listen, if you want to know how to move forward, you need to understand where you are right now. And I want you to try and get into Moses' sandals. Here he is writing, perhaps in the wilderness, during the 40 years wandering through the desert. You may remember that about 2 million people left Egypt. And you also know that a whole generation died during those years. This wasn't like living in Syria today, where there is war on your doorstep. But there would have been constant funerals. Today, I guess that we prefer to put our focus on how long can I stay alive. And today we almost glorify youth as if youth is the big thing in life. How many billions will be spent in this year on trying to keep people young? Here's a man who was surrounded by death. And here's a man who's saying, well, how can I use this so that I can live? How can I use this moment? Truth number one to realize in 2017 is that God is eternal. God is eternal, and you are not. Lord, you've been our dwelling place, our refuge throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now let's face it, there are some moments when you have no option but to consider time and life. We took some time out last week to take our relatives to the War Museum in Bastogne. It's really worth seeing if you have any interest in history and especially interest in the country of Belgium. It kind of revolves, most of the museum revolves around the last week of December 1944 when the Allies stood against a Nazi onslaught, panzers and tanks, and they were completely surrounded, and a week seemed like a month. But there was a beginning to the fighting, and thankfully, there was an end to it. And by the way, even then you could see God's hand supplying a clear day so that supplies could be dropped into the heart of the forest. How differently the history of Europe may have turned out. Do you see what Moses is doing? Back then, young people, no technology. And he's taking us beyond earth and beyond space and beyond time. And he's saying, God is. And God is was before you and me. And God was there before the greatest empires that are no longer here. And God was there before the mountains were brought forth. And he will be God long after the last man or woman or boy or girl or creature takes its last breath. With this God, you know who you are. Without this God, you have every reason to be afraid. Verse 7, to be terrified by indignation. Can I ask you, I had to ask myself, as we begin 2017, is this our mindset? Is this where we are centered? You may be a new Christian here today. Maybe you've been a Christian for a couple of months. Maybe, brothers and sisters, you've been Christians for many years. But would I be right in saying that for most of us, our God is too small? You see, a small God, a God who is bound by time and limitations, a God like that may be able to put a band-aid on me when life scratches me and I'm sore. But if we're going to be guided through a dangerous year into eternity, we need a God who is bigger than the biggest. I don't know if any of you go into the website of Creation Ministries International, but I like Ken Ham because sometimes children write to him and he answers the question so wonderfully. So a guy called Jason, age 11, wrote to him and said, I don't know if I believe in God because, I mean, who made God anyway? That's a good question from a young boy. And he responded, if someone made God, then you must have a bigger God who made that God, and a bigger, bigger God who made that bigger God who made God, and then a bigger, bigger, bigger God who made the bigger, bigger God who made the bigger God who made God. The only thing that makes sense is that we have the biggest God of all, that God, the God of the Bible, is the Alpha, the beginning, and the Omega, the end. And it's not surprising to me that David, in another psalm, in Psalm 139, picks this up and he says, if God is everywhere in all of his fullness, where can I go from your presence? And where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. Think about this in 2017. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If you're going to be relocating in this year, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, you are there. And do you see, brothers and sisters, how this should impact the way we look at the world? You know, we can get hung up on a year. I was interested that Albert in his prayer mentioned the annus horribilis, the word that was used to describe a year. I've heard more than one person in the media describing the terrible year of 2016. Just last week, you heard of the death of Carrie Fisher, who played Princess Leia in the Star Wars movie that I saw when I was much younger. And then her mother, Debbie Reynolds, the star of Singing in the Rain, dies just a few hours later. You know, it's one thing to mark off periods of time, 12 months in a year, but it's another to act as if time is king when in fact God is king. God is king. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You know, maybe Moses was thinking of some of the people who lived in the early days of creation, Methuselah and Jared and Adam, who lived about 900 years old. Would you like to live that long? And he's saying, even if a person lives 1,000 years, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? It's nothing to God. It's just like a day that he is directing for his purpose. Pretty relevant as we come to the end of the year. There's some of you parents, you can hardly believe that in a year or two, your child will be out at college or starting a job. And when we get older, there are many of us who don't like our birthdays too much after the age of 40. When you get beyond 80, I'm told, you're beyond caring. However fast life goes by, get this, the Bible says, get this. Kings like Nebuchadnezzar, statesmen like Churchill, generals like George Patton, dictators like Mao Zedong and others today, they will all come and go. But God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. Here is a God you can trust. Here is a God you can love. Here is the God we need. God is eternal, and we are not. Second truth to get our bearings, you see it in verse 5. Life is frail, and we are needy. That seems pretty obvious, right? Unlike God, I have a beginning, and I have an end. And only God knows when that's going to be. Verse 5, yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning, and in the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. And I could almost hear you saying, thanks, Pastor. Just what I need as I go into 2017. Your life is going to be short, and your life is going to be difficult. But let me say that unless you get this, unless you understand this, when you press the find me button in your life, you will end up in the wrong place. No one was more aware of God than Moses. It is not said of many people, Numbers 12 verse 8, that Moses spoke with God face to face. And yet when Moses forgot how frail he was, there was always some experience in his life that was going to bring him back to ground zero. Can you see Moses? A man like you and me. It's very likely that he wrote the psalm after Numbers 20 when his sister Miriam had died. So he's living with loss in his family. The people were grumbling against him, that they were blaming him, that he brought them into the desert. He's so angry that instead of speaking to the rock as God commands, he strikes the rock at Meribah. And the God who judges him, the God who has in fact shown him patience for so many years, watches as Moses loses patience. And now it seems to Moses as if everything is lost. It seems as if my world is crumbling. And just when he ruins his chances of getting into the promised land, his brother Aaron dies as punishment, more loss. And out of it all, Moses learns there's nothing guaranteed. Don't presume anything. I want to learn that in 2017. I really do. And don't you? I want you to think of how uncertain and frail life is. Many of you have been praying for Ron and Sandra Michener, who left a couple of months ago to go and settle their son into college. And just after that, Ron is diagnosed with cancer, so that he's receiving treatment now. Life is uncertain. We are frail and needy. Or the members of the Russian choir and dance group, servicemen, who are going to entertain other servicemen far from home, people just like us. What were their plans after Christmas? What hopes did they have as the plane was dashed into the sea? I do not share that to make you depressed or gloomy. But if your life is going to count, you need to think of yourself as a blade of grass, not as a star that is never going to burn out. Moses could have contrasted our sin with God's holiness, as he does our frailty with God's eternity, but he wants us to see the link between death and sin. Verse 9, all of our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Now, I know that we're all here today gunning. We're ready to live. And man, I'm ready to live. I'm ready to embrace this year. But I need to ask you from this passage of Scripture, are you ready to die? Because when you're ready to die, only when the eternal God is your refuge are you really ready to live. In 2017, you could become a cynic. You could say, why should I plan? Why should I not just live it up and die? You could say, as one of the characters in Christine Cashaw's book, Fire, you could say, living is too hard right now. Dying is easier. Lord, let me die. Or you could say, like Jim Elliot, what Moses is saying, when the time comes to die, make sure that all you have to do is die. You see, God is eternal or not. Life is frail and we are needy. And when you understand that, you're ready for the two actions that he tells us. I want you to embrace these two sensible actions, as I hope I will in this year. What we ask Moses is the formula for a happy new year. We say it so glibly. Or a happy life. You know, I read this and I didn't see any resolutions necessarily. I didn't see any promises of what we are going to do for God. And it kind of reminds me that Moses was a failure, just like I am. And to get into our promised land, we don't need someone who's frail and needy as Moses was. We don't even need someone like Joshua, who took the people into the promised land, and Joshua who said, be strong and courageous. We need Jesus Christ, and that's really the only way you can understand Psalm 90. You see, whatever actions I take in 2017, it's a wonderful thing to me that I'm not going to earn more of the love of God. I'm not going to be able to twist God's hand to manipulate the eternal God to give me a better life. If I'm in Jesus Christ, I already have the best life short of heaven. It's now, it's here. It's Jesus, not Moses or you or me, who is the promise keeper who will make all things new. And that means that with Jesus as my refuge and compass, I can run the race wisely and make every moment count. So action number one, invest your life wisely and not wastefully. Listen to this, young people, wisely and not wastefully. Lord Moses says, if we can count on 80 years maximum, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And that's the heart of Moses' song. There's a better way you could translate it, because it brings out the man's burden, and it's like this. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Can I hang on to that word present for a while? Same word was used in Genesis 4, verse 3 and 4, when two young men, sons of Adam, present themselves to God. They knew what life should be about. They came to offer up something to God. Pretty simple, really. Cain was foolish. Why? Not because he brought a grain rather than a blood sacrifice. Because he was indifferent. His offering was not by faith. He comes to God really thinking in his life, my destiny, captain of my soul. And instead of using what he's been given, he becomes a fugitive, wasting his life away rather than being in God's story, trying to write his own story. And the result is he not only lost his bearings and became a wanderer, all his family relationships were broken. Now, listen. I wonder if there's anybody here, and while you don't deny God, neither have you ever thought about what it means to live radically for him. So as you go into 2017, you want to ask the questions that matter. Will it surprise you if I say that before you can be what God wants you to be or do what he wants you to do, you've got to ask the right questions? Jesus said to his disciples, who do you say that I am? Because if Jesus is the truth of God and not a part of it, if he is God's wisdom in the flesh, to reject Jesus, to be indifferent to him, is to say like Cain, I will go into eternity with a wasted life. And you know, as we go into 2017, I want, with God's help, to be like Abel. I do. I'm sure you do. I don't want to bring the least. I want to bring the best and the fattest to God. You know what the New Testament says about Abel? Because his heart was in the right place, because his sacrifice revealed what was within, God honored him in his life. Young people, when it came for Abel to die, and we might say before his time, all he had to do was die. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, the New Testament says, even though he's dead. I don't want to wait until I'm 60 or 70 to get in on the wise and the good life that God offers. I want to be like the man who, when he turned 50, brought himself a present. It was a jar with 1,300 marbles. Pretty strange. Why did he do that? He reckoned that if he lived for 75 years, he would have 1,300 Saturdays left. And every Saturday, he goes to this enormous jar and he throws one marble out. And it's a reminder to him, my life is fleeting. And let me use every moment for the God who matters. I don't think Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, was a believer. I trust that he trusted in Jesus before he died. He said something that illustrates Psalm 90. He said, remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I have encountered to help me make the big choices in life. So in 2017, live your life wisely, not wastefully. And I'll end with this. Seek your joy in Jesus. Not in this year or any year. What a prayer to end the psalm. Lord, life is short and tough. Rather than let your anger be the final word on my life, relent and have compassion. Verse 13. That's a prayer for the gospel. And let me say to you that if you've repented and you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, it's already answered. You can go out there and embrace the world. If you love Jesus in 2017, God's anger is not his final word, but his grace. every day, and even on my worst day when I forget him, God will not abandon me. God will remain constant in his love. As we sometimes sing, our hope is built. My hope in 2017 is built not on the best that I can do, not in the fact that there'll be no trials or challenges. My hope is built on Jesus' blood and righteousness. And do you see that rather than enter this year by saying what's going to go wrong in 2017, will our lives be in danger? Will we have better health? Will we have plenty of money to keep us afloat? We should simply be saying what Moses does in verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love. That's what matters, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. I just love the way that Moses brings life and joy and God together. Hallelujah. Because God is from everlasting to everlasting. Because God poured his life out for us in his Son, Jesus, there is no greater work that we can do, no more favored work than to rest everything that we are on all that Jesus is. And as we close today, let me ask you, is this where you are as we go into 2017? Is this where you want to be? Not seeking to find your ultimate joy in a year or in a nation, or in a person, or in a career, or in a relationship with anybody else ultimately, but here is my joy, God himself. We can love Jesus who has set us free from the tyranny of time. We can love Jesus who has set us free from the fear that we have to be in control. We can love Jesus who has set us free from the desire to run after things that will vanish. We can love Jesus because he will turn our compass to the only thing that really matters. You know, before we know it, this day is going to be behind us. And if God spares us another year and Jesus doesn't come again, 2018 is going to be there on the doorstep. I don't want my life to be a monument to futility. God is eternal. Life is frail. Pray with Moses that we may invest our lives wisely and we may find all of our joy, not in a year, but in Jesus, the gladness and the wisdom of God. Let's pray together. In these moments, I'm going to ask that we simply pray silently for a minute or so. I want you to thank God for the year that is behind, which will not be repeated. Where you did not confess sin or repent in the last year, do it now. Put it all behind you by God's grace. Embrace his forgiveness. And then reflect on your future and where you would like to be when you come to the end, God willing, of 2017. Father, thank you for these moments of silence where we can press the find me button in our lives. Consider again the eternal nature of God, who will never forsake us or leave us or abandon us. The only one who really matters in terms of our attention and focus in the year that lies ahead and in terms of pleasing Thank you for your great love. Father, we're so glad that you cannot bless us more than you already have in Jesus. You have already rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. You have given us already more than we need and all that we need in Jesus. And already we're completely loved by you as we enter into this year. Lord, we want to pour out our lives for you, not to waste a single day. But we want to thank you that we cannot make you work any harder for us than you already are at the moment. And for that we love you, and we praise you that you are preparing us right now for the day when we will stand before you. Jesus is the only reason that we can be sure that we will stand before you with great joy. And if in this year you choose to call any of us home, we are so grateful that those who know and love you can stand without fault because you've placed us in the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ. So help us, we pray, to number our days aright so that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. In Jesus we ask this. Amen. Shall we stand and sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness?
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings of mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercy. see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Isn't it wonderful to have such a faithful God? And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And even so we say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Amen. Won't you please be seated, and then Albert will lead us as we welcome visitors together.